Welcome to the Preacher Guys Podcast. We're your hosts, Aaron Goins and Charlie Patterson III. Join us in our weekly discussion where we share fresh insights and practical wisdom straight from the Word of God. We have new episodes dropping every Saturday at 9 a.m., so please join us on our journey to discover truth from God's Word.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to 2025.
Hit you with a new intro.
Yeah, new intro. Gonna be a lot of new things, I guess.
Yep.
So we're just gonna dive right into it. Hope everyone had a happy new year. We've had a pretty good new year.
I mean,
it's been good. Can't complain. Christmas was good. Got to see all my sisters, mom and dad, all grandkids were there.
New baby.
We had, the new baby. Yeah. So everybody was there, which was awesome. And I know my parents really wanted that. So
we might have to refresh a little bit on the physical part of the transformation after this holiday season. But
right. Yeah. Definitely have been lacking in that area. But let's get into the meat of the discussion tonight, which is identity.
Yeah. No más leche. We're on to the good stuff.
Yeah. No more milk. Well, let me back up. Some part of this is milk, right? But then we're building off of that, though. So let me pull this up here.
I'm going to trademark that. No más leche.
No más leche. All right. So would you say identity is one of the things that all human beings struggle with almost more than anything else in this world?
I would say yes, especially in 2025.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, especially gender identity.
It's all about identity these days.
Yeah, but identity, just some questions I wrote here that people ask often. They ask, who am I? You know, why am I here? Do I have a purpose? Does life even matter? Am I needed? Can I make a difference? Would anyone notice if I was not here?
Right.
Or not even a question, but just feelings like, well, I wish other people saw me as important. If I'm not important, then therefore I'm not needed. My identity is worthless. You know, those sorts of questions and feelings people have. Have you ever asked yourself any of those questions?
I think everyone on this planet has asked themselves that question at one point or another.
Yeah, at least one of those.
Especially, which I know you're going to get into that, when you are looking at yourself through the lens of others, or you think you're looking at yourself as a comparison. Almost. Mm-hmm. Sorry, take my jacket off.
No, you're good.
I think I've definitely asked that question to myself, and in many ways, still finding. You know, I've found my identity, right? Mm-hmm. Which we'll get into that. I don't want to break anything too early.
No, you're good.
But it's almost like you find it, but you're still looking for it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because identity is more than one thing.
Right.
Well, sort of, but not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's kind of the whole point of this. What do you think happens to a person when they struggle with identity?
I think if you struggle with identity, I think you begin to maybe try to mimic others or try to force an identity, maybe.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I would say so. You think yours is not worth anything, so you look at someone that you perceive as successful or important.
An identity that you want to have.
Yeah.
So you
mimic or you just sit there and wallow in your self-pity of comparison. It's true what they say. I don't know who coined it, but comparison is the thief of joy.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there are good forms of comparison where it's like critiquing, you know.
What? I coined it.
No, you did.
Yeah, well, that and along with the no más leche.
It sounds like a C.S. Lewis quote or something like that, and it may be. I don't remember. But I believe when we struggle with identity that it affects everything in our lives. How we go about, you know, our jobs, how we go about handling our relationships and family and just everything, even in our churches. Mm-hmm. if you don't know who you are, then it affects everything. Because our identity helps us know the way we ought to live and interact with other people.
Right.
I mean.
Well, yeah. It's the, if you think about, look at, it's kind of a famous or infamous in a way thing that you go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my name is Aaron and I'm an alcoholic. That, I am not, by the way. This is an example. But that, what they're doing, they're identifying their problem.
Right.
They've been identifying as that. They became that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and they say, you know, that's the first step to recovering is identifying that you have a problem. So I don't know if I agree with them standing up and saying that they are one, because they're kind mm-hmm. of almost in a way professing it over themselves.
Right.
Or if it's just more of a recognition of where they've been mm-hmm. and they're wanting to move forward. But
right.
that's the initial step. You talk about how it affects your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem, that's the initial step to fixing whatever the problem is identifying it. And it's
right.
for a lot of people, a problem always begins normally with self. Mm-hmm. Either you get hurt by, so someone else may cause it, but the internal struggle is, it's within you, right? It's
right.
Someone may initiate it, be the catalyst for it, but ultimately it's going to be your problem that you're going to be dealing with for however long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree. I'm not sure. And this is not to put any of those programs down or anything at all, because sometimes people need to let it out, talk about it.
Right.
But yeah, especially if it's a Christian program that's helping rehabilitate people, especially yeah. through the Word of God. I don't like saying, you know, my addiction or I'm an alcoholic or yeah. whatever, when you're not anymore.
I agree.
Let's fully deliver people. We've got them off drugs. We got them off alcohol.
Right.
How about we target addiction as yeah. a whole? Okay. Cause yeah. some of these places, and this is a tangent, but some of these places still allow smoking.
Yeah.
That's still addiction.
Right.
Like you're just, at this point, you're just alleviating symptoms rather than, going to the source of things.
And legality.
Yeah.
It's legal. So it's mm-hmm. okay.
Right.
You know,
and so, I don't know. If you're not taking care of the source, then your identity really isn't changing, right? You're just masking this over here.
Right.
But anyway, that's kind of something else we can talk about one day.
Well, I think that's why important, like programs like John 3:16
mm-hmm.
down in Arkansas. So kind of shout them out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it ever gets super big, maybe other people can hear about it and go visit them.
Right.
It's worth a visit. Awesome. I think, and I don't know if it's anywhere in their mission statement,
mm-hmm.
but their whole goal is to help you find identity in Christ
right.
as your healer. And if you're saying, you know, I'm an addict, you know, even if you haven't used in a while, or I'm this or I'm that, you know, if you've accepted Jesus and he's healed you, you are no longer those things.
Right.
Just like he no longer...
New creation.
Well, you have, if you're covered in the blood of Jesus, you have now been identified, as we're going to get into,
mm-hmm.
as his child.
Right.
You're adopted into the kingdom. So mm-hmm. that's where you need to, and because I agree with you, that's why I kind of said the whole AA thing. I don't know if that really
right.
is good to say that, like, I am this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're proclaiming it over yourself.
Right.
So now you're like, well, I can't help what I am. This
right.
is just who I am. I'm only human,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, I am only human,
mm-hmm.
but I'm no longer alone as a human, right?
I is what I is.
I is what he is.
And I ain't what I ain't. So, yeah, identity, it pretty much controls how we live our lives. I mean, it really does. Whatever you think about yourself is how you're going to operate.
Right.
So, an example I have here is, like, jobs. And I'm going to mention WW here in a minute. But almost every job that you can think of has at least two different positions.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it just be employer and employee, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Unless maybe you work for yourself and then, you know, you're just...
Tell yourself what to do.
Yeah, you tell yourself what to do. You are whatever position
yeah.
you say you are. But if you get hired by someone, then the person that hired you and you are in two different positions in the same job.
Right.
So like at WW, obviously a ton of positions.
Right.
And not any one of them are necessarily more important than the other, because they're all needed to do what they're goal is to do, which is to make cabinets and cabinet doors. So the company's got like five different buildings, right? Well, back up first, we have the owners.
Right.
All right. So they're up there at the top. Right. That they oversee everything.
Right.
But it's a big company. They can't literally be everywhere. So what happens? Got five buildings. Okay. We have a superintendent for each building. Then from there, in my building, at least we have two foremen, one for the north end, one for the south end.
Right.
Then from there, you got the different departments that are in the south end and in the north end. So you got to have team leads to oversee those.
Mm-hmm.
And then the team leads can't oversee three or four different areas of the department by themselves. They need help, which is where I'm at, is assistant team lead.
Right.
So I've got two or three areas that I specialize in, and then the other assistant does the rest of them.
Right.
And then under us, you have trainers, people who train new people on the job, and then you have just the regular team members who come in and do the individual jobs we have.
Right.
Each one contains a different identity for WW.
Yeah.
Each one is needed, but each one tells you how to interact with other people in there and tells you your role in the company.
Yeah. Military is big. Same thing. Yeah. Rank. Mm-hmm. You're identified by your rank. Generally, if everyone's seen in the movie, if someone says, if a young guy would come up to me, he wouldn't say, "Hey, Aaron," or someone I know, they might call me by my last name. But generally, if it's a younger person that I don't know, it's Sergeant. That's how I would be identified as, right? To be Staff Sergeant Goins. But that teaches me how to interact. If it's a younger person getting mouthy, well, that's not normally how we're. Our identities are here, you know, you're here, I'm here, and so we're going to interact a little bit differently than if I were going to go and talk to, like, a full-bird colonel or something like that. We're going to interact differently. There's customs and courtesies associated with our identities, and within those customs and courtesies is how we will greet each other, how we will depart when we get done speaking with one another, and how we will act while we're engaging in whatever we're doing.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's perfectly put. That's what I had here. Now, understanding your identity, whether it be in your family, in your church, in your job, in the military, whatever, it helps you know who you are in relation to people around you.
Right.
So, like, and it's not only when you're around them. So, like, as long as my parents are on the earth, I am their son.
Right.
Right. Not just when they're around, I'm their son. I am always their son as long as they are here on the earth. You know, to my wife, unless we got divorced, which I don't advocate for that because I am a Christian man and a pastor, obviously, but I will be my wife's husband until the day one of us die. That's just how that is. You know, me and you, we are friends. We are co-hosts. We are both associate pastors.
Cousins.
We are, cousins.
Yeah,
even through marriage, cousins, we are brothers in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's who we are in relation to each other. You know, your kids are son and daughters in relation to you.
Right.
You know, Jace's son in relation to me, even if it's not biologically, that's the role I am fulfilling in our household. I am fulfilling father, he fulfills son, London fulfills daughter, and Isabel's moved out, but she also fulfills daughter as well. And that shows us how to interact with each other. Mm. I am not going to be a son to my wife.
Right.
You know, and sadly, there are a lot of men acting like sons to their wives. So men, if you're listening, time to man up, be the man. Your wife is not your mother. And I've heard, either personally have heard people, women say this, or just on YouTube or whatever, that they don't want to be your mother.
No, you know, Mallory, and actually it's kind of a joke, and I'm sure a lot of women do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have three kids. Sometimes my wife will jokingly say she has four kids, you know, because I'm me, right? But, and this is almost into another topic, but you were talking about identity. I am almost, because I greatly respect my wife. I think she's far wiser than I am. She's far smarter than I am. And, in a lot of ways, she's spiritually stronger, it seems like, than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. But our identity as husband and wife, especially since we've both been in the kingdom walk together, and because we are walking together, putting God first. And sometimes, by the way, that's hard.
Right.
But only a few times, and there's a point to me saying all this, that I was like, if I'm ever just like, no, and there's a finality in it, and it's not because I'm being disrespectful to my wife or disrespectful. The thing is, she's told me that she likes it, and I don't want to say foot down, because this is going to sounds kind of weird, but it's kind of I'm trying to explain it the best I can. When I do not very often exercise any authority that I have in my household as the head of the household, but there are some things where I've been like, we're not doing that. And she agrees, mm-hmm. but she likes it when I actually am the one to do it. So she doesn't have to be the bad guy.
Like to make the final call.
To make the final decision. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things. She enjoys that. She doesn't want to be raising a fourth child. She doesn't want to have to pick up after me and feed me. Although she does all those things, right? She doesn't complain about it. But I try to help her when I can. Sometimes I forget. She reminds me, mm-hmm. right? But identity in the household mm-hmm. is a huge one that is lost, especially yeah. on young couples today, mm-hmm. because everybody is, we're all the same. We're all equal. No, we're not. We're equal no. in rights. We're equal in the sight of God.
Equal in value.
Equal in value, but we're not exactly the same.
Right.
I heard a comedian once say, that's my favorite thing about women. They're not dudes. Right? It's like, he's like, so we're different. We bring different things to the table. We're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess equal wasn't the right word. We're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're not alike. We have different things that we bring. And finding that identity as a man
mm-hmm.
is very important, especially if you want to hold some sort of, not just love from your wife,
mm-hmm.
but respect as
right.
well.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think, so I've already said too
much. No, you're good. The family functions best when each member understands their identity
right.
and role and then functions in it. And just putting this out there, just because I'm the husband, I'm the dad, I'm the man of the house, and Jessica is the woman of the house, you know, the wife, that doesn't mean she cooks and cleans and I just go to work and come back
exactly.
and take out the trash.
Yeah.
No. Any home duties mm-hmm. is shared by us.
Right.
Now, usually she will be the one to do the laundry, right? But, like, today, just today, she had to work today. She doesn't normally work Fridays, but I did. I was home, and there was two or three loads of laundry that needed done. So I did them.
Right.
Instead of waiting for her to come home and have to do them after a long day of work.
Right.
That's, I mean, come on. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, we share dish duty.
Right.
Sometimes she cooks. Sometimes I cook. Now, most of the time, I do the trash, or Jace, actually, really,
right.
Now that he's older.
Get to work, Jace.
Yeah. Because, I mean, and this is just our personal preference. Trash is dirty and heavy and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make my wife do it
if
I don't have to. Like, if it gets full or whatever and I'm not there, that's one thing.
Right.
But, you know, we do have a son in the house who can do that now, too.
Yeah.
So, just things like that. That what being a husband does mean, though, is that I'm going to protect the family.
Yeah, and be the spiritual leader
yep.
of
yep.
the family.
Yep.
Because I want to make a quick, not a caveat, but just,
mm-hmm.
if for some reason, if you're a husband and you are unable to work, or you have, you know, maybe you have, like, obviously this is, I don't know why I feel led to say this.
Right.
If you have some reason that you can't do some of these things.
Like a disability
yeah,
or something.
Or something's yeah. wrong. You're not less of a man.
Mm-mm.
You can still be the spiritual leader of your family.
Mm-hmm.
You can still find ways to provide and protect your family.
Right.
You know, if you know.
Well, prayer, honestly, can be the number one form of protection.
Yes. You can. Right. There's, I don't know why I felt led to say that, because it just seems, if anybody, well, I think I do know why, but I'll share that with you afterwards. But yeah, if there's anybody that's struggling with that, your identity in Christ is the most important thing. So your prayer and your for your family and your spiritual leadership and their development and their growth in their family is the most important thing that as a man we can identify. I know this isn't about men specifically, but we're the preacher guys, right?
Right.
So
yep.
Primarily probably men going to be listening. Well, I guess our wives and our family. Right. A lot of women listening.
Actually, in our so, family, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, just want to throw that out there.
You're, yep. Yeah. Yep. And for anybody who's got kids, you know, talking, we're men, you know, we both have one son, and I am the only son to my father. Your role as father to that son, well, the role of the son to the father is to pay attention to dad and emulate dad. It's like what Paul said. Now I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he basically just said, emulate me as I emulate Christ.
Right.
So, sons, if you are listening, if you are a son still living with a dad, or dads, if you're listening and raising up your sons, mm-hmm. make sure your sons are following your footsteps if you are following Christ.
Right.
Now, there are other areas that can still follow you that are not necessarily Christ-related, you know, like good work ethic and stuff like that. But, you know, Jesus would have good work ethic.
Yeah.
So anything that can be attributed back to Jesus, you want them to follow you in those footsteps.
Right.
A line that we're coming to right now, and I'm sure Colt may get there one day,
right.
But with Jace, and this is not to embarrass him at all, I mean, I've gone through the same thing, right, is with video games.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before.
Right.
Nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, but I noticed over the last couple of days he was spending way too much time.
Right.
And I didn't stop him either. I was like, well, what am I going to do with him? You know, like, yeah. what can I do to get him off of there? And if I do get him off of it, is he going to like start getting mad and being upset the rest of the day?
That's when you break out a controller, Charlie, and you beat his butt in 2K.
Right. Well, I couldn't win in 2K. Madden is a different story. But what I should do, what any good Christian father should do, when they start to notice these things, number one, ask God for wisdom on mm-hmm. what to do. But you can't go wrong with being like, hey, son, you know, I noticed you've been playing a lot lately. As soon as you finish this round or game or whatever you got going right here, I want you to hop off. You know, let's take just 10 minutes to read the Word of God and pray. That you can't go wrong with that. You're getting them into the Word of God, whether they want to or not. If they at least hear it, speak it, or even if they begrudgingly read it, like they're ingesting it, right? Something else real good, you know, get them outside.
Yeah.
Do something. Got something in the yard need done? Need to rake leaves, need to mow, whatever.
Yeah.
And Jace likes to do those things. It's just me initiating that. Because sometimes kids, they like to do these things where they're actually helpful.
Right.
But they don't have the willpower to initiate it, and that's where, as a parent, you got to be like, okay, let's get out here, let's go do this,
or even think to notice that it needs to be done.
Yeah, right?
Kids may not even pay attention. The grass is long, or
right,
XYZ needs to be fixed or worked on, or something like that. And that's you know, as the husband and the father in the household, we are seeing everything that needs to be done at all times, and we're like,
that's a project.
Yeah,
that's a project.
We got all this stuff, and you know, all those little things, it really is just quality time with them. So it's important.
It is. It's very important. And so here's some questions here. Talking about identity. The main question is, who are you? Have you seen Anger Management with Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson?
Ago, yes.
He's in the meeting, the anger management meeting, and he's like, tell us who you are. And he's like, tells him his name or something. He's like, no. Tell us who you are. And he starts talking about his job.
Yeah.
He's like, no, tell us who you are. And he talks about his hobbies. Yeah. He's like, no, tell us who you are. And, you know, of course, the whole thing's just to get him upset.
Right.
And to loosen up, actually. But, like, it raises a good point, though. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
So, if you had no job, who are you?
Right.
All right. If you didn't have kids, who are you? If you weren't married, who are you? If you were an only child, who are you? If you didn't have parents, you know, you were,
right.
you know, an orphan, or parents died,
Melchizedek.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Melchizedek. No. But then who are you?
Yeah.
You know, if tomorrow we were asked to step down from being pastors,
yeah,
who are we?
Yeah.
You know, just all these things. If we didn't have all these other things, who are we?
Yeah. All these identifiers attached to our being, basically. Right. What's at our base?
Yep. And so we will address those after this break.
Oh, my.
Hey guys, it's Charlie. I have two books that you can purchase on Amazon, The Gardens of God and The Spirit of Fire. These are great tools to help strengthen your walk with God. Also, here at Family Worship Center, we have services on Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night Bible studies at 7, and every other Thursday we have youth group also at 7. If you are looking for a home church, please join us as we grow together. And we're back.
Yes.
So, answering these questions, we need to go to the Bible, right? So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I should have already had it brought up, and I didn't. Slacking. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, right there at the basis of humanity, our identity is a creation of God. And not just any creation, a creation made in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just man, you know, men.
Yeah.
It was both male and female. The Bible is very specific about that because, you know, you can take other scriptures out of context. You know, that man is... or man was made for God, woman for man. But it says something similar to that.
Yeah.
But we were made to do this together.
Right.
Right. And actually the rest of Genesis goes on to say that he gave them both dominion over the whole earth.
Right.
It wasn't just Adam. Eve had equal dominion of the earth.
Right.
So that is the basis of our identity as human beings, that we are made in the image of God. So when we have none of those other things, God forbid if all the kids died, you know, and I had no children.
Yeah.
And I'm no longer a father. And like, who am I? Well,
yeah.
I'm still created in the image of God.
Right.
If I had no wife anymore, well, who am I? Well, I'm still made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a pastor anymore for any reason. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm still made in the image of
right.
God. Does not matter. And if you come to that realization, I think your life might... Not that your circumstances will get any easier, but how you navigate through
yeah.
them, I think, can be a
kinda
lot better.
How you walk it out.
Right.
Kinda, instead of your head kind of hung low, you're like, you know what? I'm created in God's image.
Yeah.
He molded me. He made me. He made man. I've got, it's like something to be, it's like, I got something to be proud of, right?
Right?
It's like,
yeah.
I got this thing that I can hold on to
mm-hmm.
that's, if you took everything away, you had a Job moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still, he knew, and I think that's probably what helped Job. He was faithful to God. He was, my creator is good.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all these bad things happen, he still believed in the creator.
All right.
So.
And I think, you know, you got some friends that have gone through some pretty tough situations lately.
Yeah.
That have come to the faith
mm-hmm.
also. And I think if they get that, not just in their minds, they need to be in the mind, but in the heart too, that they are created in the image of God, it won't matter the circumstance
right.
that they've gone through. Does it still... well, I'll spell it out for my mom. I didn't want to say S-U-C-K. She don't like that word.
Yeah.
But is it still terrible? Yeah, those circumstances are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be divorce or the loss of a parent or the loss of the child, anything like that, they're terrible. But knowing that you are made in the image of God through it all,
yeah,
because what gets people away from God is when they're feeling condemned. You know, the Bible says. Right around John 3:16, 3:17 or 18 or something, says that He didn't come to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're feeling condemnation, it's not coming from God.
Right.
It's coming from Satan.
Yeah.
Now, you might feel conviction.
Yeah.
That's different.
There's a different. There's kind of like a, you could have done that better to, you're a bad person for what you've done.
Right.
Right? It's a two different feelings entirely.
Yeah. Conviction will lead you
to the right answer.
Yeah, to the way out.
Right.
Conviction from the Holy Spirit will address the sin, but then it will show you the solution, which is Jesus. Condemnation, it just sends you down a downward spiral, it sends depression. You down
the rabbit hole. Yeah, it makes it worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. And so that's super important. So we are made in his image and we are his creation made by his very hands.
Right.
Right? God made Adam with his hands. He made Eve with his hands from Adam. Now, that's just all of humanity. We're made in his image. We are not, however, all children of God. And we were talking about this earlier.
Right.
And that might come as a shock to some people that have just heard this. Not every human being is a child of God. And actually, it's very clear in John. I'll turn there in a minute. But only Christians or saints or believers or disciples of Jesus, whatever you want to call us, those who follow the way, as they said in the Bible, those are the children of God. And if you got something to say, go ahead. I'm going to turn to John.
Well, no, go
real
ahead.
Real quick. Yeah. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13.
I was going to say it's kind of like we were adopted into the kingdom. Like we might
it's
have been
exactly like
we
that.
We may have been like his creation, and maybe like in a physical sense he's created us, therefore he was like our father, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's more than just the physical, right? We can be God's creation and still go to hell, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in order to be adopted into the kingdom, you have to accept that he is your heavenly father.
Yep.
There's a difference between, does that make any sense? Like,
oh yeah,
you have to accept that fact to be a child of God, because he's not going to send his children to hell.
No.
You have to do it yourself by not accepting that fact.
Right. So John 1, verses 12 and 13 say, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So unless you accept Jesus, you don't even have the right to become a child of God.
Right.
And I mean, honestly, even hearing that myself, like, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're all made in God's image. We're all children of God.
Yeah.
No, no, we're not. We're all made in his image, but we're not all children unless you have accepted Jesus.
And he gave us that choice. You know, he's like, kind of like, it's up to you what you want to do. But if you want part of the inheritance, you have to accept it, right? It's kind of like in those movies, like, if you want the family's inheritance, you have to become a lawyer, right? You have, it's probably a Hallmark movie more than likely.
Well, Donald Trump, you know, he'll write his kids out of the will if they drink.
Yeah.
Like, you can't drink if you want to be an heir.
Whatever. Something heir, more money.
Right.
Yes. And this is not to be confused with, and we kind of talked about this earlier, because I don't want anyone to think like, okay, so only certain people can get to heaven. Wrong. Anybody who accepts Jesus Christ,
right,
whosoever will, let them come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. It's everybody has the ability to become a child of God. It isn't that God has already chosen his children and everyone else is just
It's available to everybody.
Yes, it's the availability to everybody. This is not one of those predestination things, like, only because I had someone ask me one time, well, they said, who gets to, I can't remember how he said it. He didn't say who are children of God. He said, who did God make salvation for, I think, or something like that. And I was like, for everyone. He goes, no, that's not the correct answer. I think I said it's for those who accept him or something like that. And he goes, well, that's better than normally I get. Everyone says it's for everybody. I was like, well, anybody can accept him. He's like, well, there's the elect, or the what's the word they use? Yeah, the elect, I think. And I was like, I think you're taking that out of context.
Sounds like a Calvinist.
He was the one I worked with when I was on the bridge. I didn't work with him. He was a guy that I met when I was working on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very wrong, and it's so frustrating to not argue with those people, mm-hmm. with those people, because it's like, you know, the truth is right there, you know, and the most famous verse, and that's one of my favorite examples, and I think you actually reminded me of it, because I think I called you and was like, my mind locks up and I can't think of anything. And I think you might have mentioned John 3:16. Like, what does whosoever mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that accepts him, right, can have that identity as child, as a child of God in Christ. Mm-hmm. They have to have Christ's identity. I just wanted to throw that little caveat out there.
Oh, yeah. And one of the hard questions Marcus gave us with the predestination and stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, this goes right into identity as well, going back to Ephesians chapter 1, start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world was formed, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So
there's that word again.
Which one?
We're all predestined if we accept him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we before the foundations of the world. So that means before we were even a thought,
mm-hmm.
God had a plan. In place, and before Adam and Eve were even made, he said, I am going to redeem them all with my son Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us that much to have this in place before he said, let there be light.
Yeah.
This was already in place. Yeah. Like that just blows my mind. Like, that's crazy. It's like he already knew that Adam and Eve and any other person he could have chosen to be first. Yeah. We're going to royally screw things up.
Yeah, people are like, well, why would he do that? That's a question you're going to have to ask him, but you got to get to heaven first, right? It's like, why does it matter? It's kind of, you know, I mean, we were made to worship with him, and it's like, well, why would he do it if he already knew what he was going to have to do? Why didn't he just, it's like, who knows, right? I don't know. I know that he loves us. I know that he sends his son to die for us. I know he made us because he wanted fellowship and worship with him,
mm-hmm.
and that's all that matters to me. Mm-hmm. And,
let me read you this text real quick, because as I was studying identity, and especially family and everything, I texted Jessica, I was like, you know what makes us sons and daughters, and of course, you know, what we just talked about, right. You would think being his creations, what does that, but it's not, it's accepting Jesus, believing in his name. And then I told her, I said, it also makes me realize that how I feel is how God feels. Because if you don't know, I mean, I know you know, but people listening, if you don't know, you know, Jessica and I have been trying, and I have wanted a biological child for a while now. We've been married 5.5 years, and nothing's happened yet. But I have that longing and that desire for a child, even though I've got 3 kids right now, right? And that's a mindset that has been shifting. It's like, I've got 3.
Right?
I've got 3. And so this is what I think this is why God created us. One reason.
Right.
He wanted children.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his only begotten son, right? He's got Jesus, but he wanted us. He wanted us to be his children, and he gave us a way to do that. And he couldn't make us like exactly like him, right? Jesus was exactly like him. Jesus is God. But you can't have 8 billion people that are equal with God.
Right.
God, there is no equals with God.
Right.
God is himself, you know, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. So he wanted to make something like him.
Yeah.
And with that comes free will and all these things, the ability to choose evil, which he doesn't,
but
we do. And so the way I feel about wanting a child is the same thing he's feeling. He's wanting more children.
Right.
every soul that is not saved, that's a child he's grieving over that he wants.
Yeah.
And like it just hit me a different way. Yeah. And I was like, man, like he just wants children.
Yeah.
Like he wants his children. Yeah. He wants the children to be his. He wants any child that needs a father.
Yeah.
And that's all of us.
Yeah.
We all need a spiritual heavenly father, right, which is him. And I see how that has kind of been instilled in my life, both when I was younger and then now being married to someone who already has kids. Like, I am a father to kids who needed one.
Yeah.
Not that their earthly father is not involved at all or, you know, dead or anything yeah. like that, but they needed a godly father to right. step into the picture. And so it gave me a sense of peace. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, like, I know I'm not alone in this. There's other people out there that are like that. But it's like, the Bible says that he can sympathize with us
yeah.
in our every need. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, that's true. He yeah. can honestly sympathize with wanting a child
right.
and grieving at not having a certain child.
Right.
Because he wants them all.
Yeah.
Right. He wants them all. And so that's kind of a little tangent there, but that was just something that was like revealed to me, I guess, yeah. today. I was like, man, he's feeling this with me.
Right.
And that can go for anything.
Yeah.
You got anything to say?
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, you said you stepped in to the godly father role, and that is kind of a new identity, right? Mm-hmm. Not just a father, but it's your identity is coming in more in line with him.
Right.
And stepping in not just as the father role, because it's like, okay, they had an earthly father, right?
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, they needed a spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, God is their heavenly father if they've accepted right. Jesus Christ. But, I mean, on the earth, they needed a spiritual leader.
Yeah,
they
needed a man that would point them to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I think, and that's why you might find more peace, because you're feeling this like spiritual fulfillment in being a spiritual father, like my grandma said,
mm-hmm.
you're their spiritual father.
Yeah.
And
and like in your case, you know, your kids are of your loins, yeah. you know, of you and Mallory, but you are still also their spiritual father yeah. as well. And I think for people who have biological children, I think that might be something they maybe overlook more, because they're yeah. like, yeah, I'm their dad. Well, yeah, you're their dad, but you're more than that.
Yeah.
You are their spiritual covering. You are their spiritual yeah. father. You're not just the guy that brought them into this world.
Yeah, I kind of I feel like I almost, Mallory and I always joke about this when we're coaching volleyball, or we're going to be coaching soccer this spring,
mm-hmm.
Or I will be. We always feel like we want to like adopt the kids that we coach, because mm-hmm. we get so connected to them through just a short period of time. And it kind of is like, we always joke about just wanting to adopt a few of them. And I think, like, in a weird way, I feel like their spiritual father when I'm coaching them.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't know, I know for a fact that some of the kids don't come from godly homes, come from very bad homes, very right. broken homes. But when those kids are in my care and my custody, it's like I've adopted into my little kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
My little home, and I know I'm not, right? And mm-hmm. I would never overstep and try to push them something yeah. that would be against what their family wants. But while they're with me, they see, and I'm not perfect. It sounds kind of weird, but they see what a godly, earthly father should be like. Because they may not ever see that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I yell when I coach sometimes. Mm-hmm. I get worked up. It's like an excited yell. But like, I see what some of these kids have to live with, and it just makes me think, like, man, I hope they can think of one day, if that little girl is looking for a husband one day, that she's like, well, my dad was a piece of work. But Coach Aaron, man, him and Coach Mal, they had, you know, that's what I want. Or like for if we coach the boys, or for little boys, if they see us, like, I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be kind to my wife. I want to be kind to my children and kind to other children. And I want to represent God And they may not, and I don't preach to the kids or anything like that, but one day they're going to come across someone like me and like you, and they're going to be like, why are they the way they are?
Mm-hmm.
And talking about identity, when it comes down to it, we've talked about this more, and the more I follow Christ, I think the more you take away from me, I can always fall back on my identity in Christ, not just because that I am his creation, like you said, but we took the step further. So now our identity is in line with Christ. Our identity is as a child of God, which I think obviously supersedes even being a creation of God,
right?
Because now we are his actual child, and we have adopted into the kingdom. And I hope that one day these kids that we see and the kids that you see and then the kids that you've adopted in your own way in your family, that they will see what a man of God is that identifies with Christ. It's just very important that you don't just close up your close up just to your family, but you reach out like Jace too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know his home life. He might have a great home life. I'm not saying he does or isn't.
Right, yeah.
But it's like when he spends time with you and Jace one, he sees what a heavenly father or a Christian father is like.
Mm-hmm.
How he interacts, how he speaks, how he handles conflict, how he carries himself in his day to day when he comes home from work or eats dinner or he does the dishes and he helps out. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It is when you find that identity in Christ, I think it's important to share with share with everybody.
Yeah.
Share that identity. And that's effectively what you're doing when you're out preaching.
Because
the word.
It's available to everybody.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I just went way over.
No, you're good. Yeah. That's really good. One important thing to note, though, is that even though we can all share in that same identity, does not mean we are all the same still.
Nope.
I think the Spellmans are the one that kind of showed this to me. If you look at the root system of like a tree or a plant or whatever, it all follows one system, right? An oak tree has one system for how its roots are to obtain water and everything, or the branches, but they all like go their own unique way. Yeah. They're shaped differently. Like let's talk about sunflowers. Okay, we planted sunflowers last summer. Yeah. All the seeds are more or less identical.
Right.
Some might be a little bigger than others, whatever. Yeah. But you're looking at them, they're identical.
You can tell it's a sunflower seed.
Right. Yeah. But when you plant it and it starts growing, no two sunflowers are identical.
Right.
Some got more petals, some are taller, some are shorter,
right.
Some are got a bigger diameter of the bulb, you know, all these different things, but they're all still sunflowers, right?
Well, the root system, the reason why it does what it does and it goes so many different directions, although looking the same, is it's because it's all searching for life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's searching for nutrients. It's searching for water.
Right.
We're all looking for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, unfortunately, not everybody wants to find it, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Or the truth is not the thing they're actually wanting.
We're looking for identity. Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking for identity. And it really starts, I want to say, when you become aware of yourself as a young child, even Colt. You know, he's kind of into everything, but he is, you know, his identity is starting to shape, and I can see it, the things that he likes and he's interested in, and he's very intelligent in, and I'm like, okay, so his identity is kind of, that's what he's going to ultimately shape himself around, outside of what he's, in God, he's going to be. So everybody struggles with identity, everybody's looking for truth, everybody's looking for their identity.
Yeah. Identity. And, before we close out here, speaking of that, the identities we're looking for, once we have that foundation, yes, I'm a creation of God, and if you've accepted Jesus, I'm a child of God, that after that, it doesn't really matter. But on this earth, we're still trying to figure out how to relate to other people. You know, how do I, you know, go to church and participate in relation to other people? Because church is not a spectating sport, so to speak. We don't just come and listen to the pastor speak and listen to the worship team do their thing. You know, we are active participants. Nobody is a bench player in the church.
Yeah.
And so with that, and this is something maybe we even need to do with our church, is we just, like I said earlier, we need to see what are each of us good at.
Right.
You know, I we talked about earlier, I like to write, sort mm-hmm. of. You know, I'm good at it, or decent at it. So I've written two books. Yeah. Books I believe God told me to write. Jessica's pretty good at painting. You know, she mm-hmm. painted that prayer room. She's done other paintings.
Right.
You can play drums and guitar. Right. It doesn't matter how good you think you are or not. Yeah. You still can, and you yeah. do. So you fulfill that role in the church, because right. everybody can have a role. Some people are good at cooking. Some people are really good at cleaning. They got an eye for detail to clean. Some people are a lot more tech savvy.
Yeah.
And so if you got any technology in your church, well, 2025, I yeah. mean, we've all got some form yeah,
exactly.
of it. Everybody can find a role in the church, and it's just something that if your church hasn't done it already, or you haven't done it for yourself, just look at yourself and be like, okay, here's things I'm pretty good at. Here's things that I want to be better at. Yeah. So maybe the way to get better is to do it, right?
Yeah.
And then these are things that's like, well, these don't interest me at all. The only way I'll do them is if someone needs me to,
yeah.
you know. Never say no to anything, but know where your strengths are.
Well, that's
are.
What I was going to say. Yeah. You know, you may discover a new identity, so to speak,
yep.
by trying something new. Like, yeah. I have never...
Golf was golf, one for
yeah,
me.
I've, but I've never played the drums. Mm-hmm. I've messed around on them, but I've never seriously played. And then one day, I think Isabel was playing the guitar, Jessica was playing the keys, and I was just sitting there, and then I was trying to play along with Isabel, and I just wasn't jiving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was just very strange, and then I kind of, like, looked over, and I kind of felt like the nudge, like, go play on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And I can play just good enough to play along, you know? But
right.
it's just, it's one of those things, but when I played it, when I play the drums, my worship is through them, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I'm truly happy when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, Travis Barker, right? I'm not a great yeah. drummer, but when I do it, I enjoy doing it. And just so happened, fulfilling a need of the church, right? I don't think, and that's the thing about your identity in Christ, I don't think it has to be just, like, I say identity
it's
in Christ.
Not cookie cutter.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's just like it's a living word, and the living word is inside you, right?
Mm-hmm.
He may use you for any number of things.
Right.
But you need to be open to accepting that if he's your heavenly father, your identity is in Christ as a child of God, he's going to use you to further his kingdom. Like you said, don't mm-hmm. be afraid to try something new. Yeah, again, it's 2025. You never know what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
in your church, and so the doors may open up. Even if you go and, like, even if I would have gone and played on the drums
mm-hmm.
and it would have been horrible, horrible. There may have been some guy walking down the street, you know, the guy that plays the drums in the stores, you're just going to walk by and be like, that's the worst drumming I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to come to church every Sunday just to play the drums for these people.
right.
You know what I'm saying? You
yeah.
never know what impact you're going to have if you just follow the will of God and don't be afraid to kind of change your
mm-hmm.
identity, so to speak, in the world, obviously. Don't change your identity with Christ.
Right.
Keep that
yeah.
the same. But in that, don't be afraid to change. And I'll shut up.
No, you're good. So I'll pray and we'll close this one out. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord, or this morning for those listening. Father, this has been a great conversation. Just talking about identity, those who have it and those who don't. We're all seeking for identity. And I just pray that everyone listening and everyone we come into contact with, that we would let them know that identity only comes from you, only comes from Jesus, accepting him as our Lord and Savior. And I thank you for the gift of your Son. And I thank you that me and Aaron here and our families, we have put our identity in you, Jesus. Father, I just ask that you would bless each and every person who has listened to this podcast, Lord. I ask that you would continue to bless this podcast. Father, we don't do this for money or anything, just to further your kingdom and to help people grow. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.